Blog Talk Radio.
Politics live from Shelley's back room in the heart of our nation's capital, 1331 F Street, here in Washington, D.C. A cold, gray Washington, D.C. And as always, it's Tuesday, let's back to our usual roundtable with us today, as always, is a member of Congress from Washington's 2nd District. He is the Grammy Award-winning broadcaster from KBOS-TV and Vice President of Government Affairs for Burlington Northern Railroad. He is the...
That was for a year.
Yeah. Now you just freelance. But as always, here in Washington, D.C., former Lord Chief for Congress and Gerald Ford is the former Vice President of Affairs Broadcasting Corporation. Also a freelancer here in Washington, D.C. He is the Honorable Bob Lyons. Bob, thanks for joining us as always.
Glad to be with you, Jason.
He is the Director of the Eurasia Center for China Programs. He's the former Vice President of Global Business Development, or he's the current Global Business Development person for the Eurasian Business Coalition. He is a member of the District of Columbia and New York Bar. He is an attorney. We got to get that out there. And he has studied – wow, I didn't even know you studied at Oxford.
That's right.
Wow, he is Dr. Ralph Whitty. Dr. Whitty, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with everybody today.
And with us, as always, is our executive director of the First Congress Society. He is the executive producer of Backroom Politics. Backroom. He is the former staffer with the White House, at the White House Liaison's Office with the Department of Homeland Security, and currently Terry Blasting. Thank you for joining us. Wow, and we're starting off with civility.
Yeah.
We are starting off with civility. It is amazing.
He is really very good.
It is.
Thank you.
As everybody knows, that this is an extension of the First Congress Society. Bring civility back to politics. Check us out at www.firstcongress.org. We invite your comments, we invite your participation in the society, and we invite your participation today on Backroom Politics. You can call us. If you're on a cell phone, it could be toll-free. If you're on a landline, hey, it's a call to San Diego. Our call-in number, 619-638-8477. Again, that's 619-638-8477. The big news that has pretty much encompassed everything inside the Beltway and a lot of places outside the Beltway is obviously tonight is, I've heard it called, this is the Super Bowl of politics. This is the big day. Today is when the President of the United States, in this case President Barack Obama, travels up Pennsylvania Avenue to the U.S. Capitol and addresses a joint session of Congress for the annual State of the Union address. If for any other reason, this one is going to be interesting. There's a lot of eyes on this one. The big news now coming out of this State of the Union is, along with the seating arrangements, which we'll talk about here shortly, and just the general experience of being at a State of the Union, but the big news today is that traditionally, the minority party, the party not in the White House, has always been given a certain amount of time to address their concerns over the State of the Union given by the President. In this case, the Republican Party will be issuing their response to the State of the Union. Funny thing, though, is apparently not one Republican will be speaking tonight after the president gives the State of the Union, but two. The official, or as Majority Leader Eric Cantor says, the official response given by the Republican Party is given tonight by Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, the author of the infamous roadmap that apparently the Republicans have neither endorsed nor crushed. But we have a secondary pundit chiming in, and that's Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who is giving the Tea Party response to Al Civility.
I'm sorry, it was something.
Congresswoman Bachmann will be giving the Tea Party response to this. Okay. You've been on the floor as a seated member of Congress for several of these. Al, question is, how bizarre it is that you've got two Republicans in Congress giving a response to a President's State of the Union?
Let me try to put it as good as it's my understanding that Fox is going to actually carry we're giving an order here. They have some food. My understanding is that Fox is going to carry the party proposal. And have always opposed restoring the short answer is that if the Tea Party can do that, then why can't the Black Caucus do it? Why can't the Agriculture Caucus do it?
Hispanic
why can't
caucus.
The Hispanic Caucus do it? You know, you've got two official parties. There is nothing official about the Tea Party.
And you may very well, by next year, next time this event comes around, you may very well have some of those caucuses within the Democratic caucus having to have their say if they're responses and what they want.
It's a case of where it would have been very difficult for the Republican leadership to say no to all these new energetic people that are qualified, but it's bad for
made a real effort to include the Tea Party to a greater extent than accommodated.
Which is smart.
And I think this is an easy give, if you will. It's not an official Republican response. It probably will not be carried by as many outlets, news outlets, as is the official response by Chair of the Budget Committee. Mr. Ryan, but it does give the Tea Party some standing. It will make those people who care a great deal about the Tea Party feel that the Republicans are paying attention to them, and it will probably help some of the leadership when they have to tell the Tea Party no on something else. We gave you this, you can't have it all. I think it's a smart move on the part of Mr. Painter and Mr. Cantor.
To allow...
I don't know technically how they could forbid it. All you have to do is stand up in front of a microphone. But the fact of the matter is that she has been identified as speaking for the Tea Party and is doing it as part of the after speech events that go on, I think is probably a good thing from the standpoint of the leadership. I think they give the Tea Party something, and I think that's a useful thing to do. It's not a heavy give. It doesn't cost them anything.
Al, you're shaking your head on this one. You disagree.
Well, it just seems to me that if I were head of the Black Caucus, I would already have a letter going out demanding that that the Black Caucus has offered to call in. What about the Blue Dogs? few there are of them, and the Hispanic caucus. You know, what is there about the people, them, if you view it from the Republican standpoint?
I'm doing it from the
right way. If you are, if again, Harry Reid as a majority leader, I would call out and say, well, wait, we want, I mean, who's not in the majority, you know, we're not the majority in the House of Representatives. Harry Reid having an argument, well, wait a minute, we want 3 minutes.
Well, of course, there will be a Democrat, there will be Democrats in Statuary Hall, and there will be a number of reporters and cameras there. And, you know, I would suspect that in addition to the official response by the Republicans and Ms. Bachman, I suspect you'll see at least 3 or 4 senators and 2 or 3 House members there. Now, let's take a different example. Let's assume for the purpose of this conversation of Democrats, and the ones who win will be from the districts that they, that the Republicans won, which just means they're more moderate districts. The black, the blue dogs may be very powerful. Now, at that point, in a couple of years, you may see a situation like this, that the liberal Democrats are in the majority in the House, and the blue dogs would like to have a statement made. They may go to their speaker at that time and say, we want to have an official, unofficial spokesperson, and they may get it.
Al, again, you're shaking your head.
I think it's insane. There are 2 official parties, and it's so that the opposition party gets an opportunity to respond to the president. Not everybody who might have a bone to pick with the president. And I think it's a bad precedent.
Which I hope
everybody else is smart enough not to follow.
Ralph, go ahead.
Well, my question is, where does that leave the moderates on both the Democrat and the Republican side? I mean, what kind of voice are they going to have in terms of bringing people together to solve problems? You have the Tea Party, but you don't have any type of moderate wing that has a voice and seems to be in either party at this point.
You know, it strikes me that I see what you're saying, Bob, but I will tell you, it strikes me as being a little bit odd. I agree with Al in saying that there are 2 parties seated in Congress, Republican and Democrat. There are independent members of Congress, which leads and begs the question saying, why don't the independents have a forum to this? I mean, at some point, right now, our understanding is that the President's State of the Union address will be somewhere around an hour, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern time, which means that for an hour till 10 o'clock, we're going to have the State of the Union. For a time after that, given our understanding is about 30 minutes, give or take a few, Congressman Ryan will respond. At that point, we can have everybody running a response to the union, and this thing could go until 2 o'clock in the morning. It's just going to drone on and send mixed messages to the electorate. Am I off base on that assessment? Or?
Well, if it drags on like that, I can guarantee you there'll be nobody listening except people who are insomniacs. And I'm not, you know,
maybe,
I don't.
Maybe they'll have as many as we have listening.
Yeah.
Wow. We may have better ratings. Anyway, I don't know. That's harsh, Al.
I can understand why the Republican leadership did what they did, given the number of the Tea Party membership that they've got in their caucus. And I think they're doing it primarily as an internal. It's a political problem for them. Most parties don't have that kind of, most majorities in the House have not had the kind of difficulty to deal with within their own caucus when they are a majority. And I think the Republicans are trying to solve that problem. I think that's what it is.
Go ahead, Perry. I think it is a problem of interest as well, that certainly only a percentage of the general electorate is interested in the union address. A smaller percentage is then interested in the minority party rebuttal. An even smaller percentage, but one that needs to be recognized, is then going to be interested in the party response.
Well, how do you
as we go on, what percentages do we break it at where we say the black caucus or the Blue Dogs or a different movement within the Republican Party. You know, where there's no arbitrary percentage where we say, oh, you're only 14% interested, you don't get a response.
Well, yeah, I mean, what then is the cutoff? I mean, it also begs the other question. If, you know, if perchance next year we will talk about what we anticipate or what we're hearing is going to be addressed in the State of the Union tonight, but one of the issues being brought up is gun control. What's to say that the gun law, the gun caucus, the pro-NRA caucus doesn't scream saying, wait a minute, we want a response. It just strikes me as that now it becomes, instead of a very formulated historical event, which the Republicans have been giving a response as long as there's been broadcast media, we now get to a point where it's a broadcast media free-for-all.
Well, okay. We're making too much out of this. It's an idiot idea. It shouldn't be done, but the fact is it's not going to do the damage for what you just said about the audience getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Probably it won't ever come up again. But if it ever turns out to be a problem, Republicans created a problem for themselves that they don't need.
And I think Michelle Obama Tea Party movement.
Well, you know, it's funny because that helped us actually making a serious consideration for running for president. Bob, does this strike you as being maybe a cornerstone for Michelle Bachmann 2012?
Well, I am, you know, like a lot of people who think they might want to run for president, they have to find ways to get their foot in the water and see if anybody responds. I think she is probably as much a national spokesman for the Tea Party as anybody in the Congress, in the House of Representatives. So from that standpoint, it's rational. If the Tea Party are going to have a spokesperson, it would be her. Whether that's going to help her or hurt her, I think depends on exactly what she better do a good job.
I mean, we could go into a situation. I mean, right now, Congressman Ryan or Congresswoman Bachmann could get into everybody talks about what Senator Bobby Jindal's response was 2 years ago. Everybody talks about how Bob McDonald's response was very staged and very starchy, and it hasn't helped. Traditionally, in the past 2 years at least, the Republican response hasn't done the Republican Party any favors. With two of them,
my advice is TiVo it, and then read the papers tomorrow and listen and see what the reaction is, and that'll tell you whether it's watching.
One last question for this segment, Ralph. How does this translate as far as how we're being viewed overseas? I mean, are other interests looking at this? I mean, most notably, we spent a lot of time last week talking about the Chinese government, and that's a sensitive issue. The Russian government is starting to pop up again, being on the radar screen. Does this send a message that, in fact, our congressional side is really having problems finding its own identity?
Well, I think they're going to pay close attention to see what Obama says regarding Russia, because of that attack in the Moscow.
And we'll talk about that in a segment later on in the show.
You know, the Chinese visit, while there were positive developments on many fronts, you still have segments of people in this country that are very opposed to having any type of relationship with China, many of whom are in the Democratic Party. And Obama has to really watch that, because he wants to promote the trade between China and the U.S., but at the same time, he has a core constituency that is very angry about what they
Round the table, real quickly. I know we've covered it, but I want to just get one word answers out of everybody before we go to break here. Bob? From Shelley's back room. With us as always, Al Swift, Bob Hines, Ralph Winnie, Perry Blasting, our executive producer, executive director of the First Congress Society. And we're talking today about the State of the Union, a big news story here in Washington, D.C. Yet as we come back from break, our resident Chinese expert, our Beijing connection, Dr. Ralph Winnie is telling us CNN, which is on the big here in D.C., is reporting that a former federal engineer, former defense engineer associated with the B-2 program, just got 32 years in prison for selling stealth secrets to the Chinese government. Which, ironically, they just launched their first stealth fighter. So, just showing if you can't do the crime, you know, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, kids. That's our motto for today. Going back to the State of the Union, I want to talk a little bit about what possibly could come up. Now, before we go there, this is just speculation on our part. Traditionally, the White House does leak a copy out to the press. Apparently, that has happened. We have not seen it yet, but there's a lot of different items that are going to be up here. One of the items that everybody's widely thinking is, he's going to talk about civility in politics. The civility issue is going to come up. This goes to the heart of our radio show in the First Congress Society. That being the case, civility being part of the State of the Union, is this just for show? Is this just to get a message out that nobody's going to listen to after all? Or is there some real legs to this initiative coming out of both sides of Congress and the White House, Al?
I think it has some legs. I think Arizona is still very, very key in everybody's mind, and I think both sides want to behave themselves in this climate. The question is, what will they do in March, April, you know, September? But I have a gut feeling that it's going to kind of stick, that they're going to find that they can have vigorous debate without being so uncivil, there'll be less of it. I don't think you're going to hear anybody call the president a liar from the gallery this time.
Referring to a congressman from South Carolina who did that last year. Joe Wilson.
So I think this will be a calm, more typical State of the Union in terms of the reaction to it. What's interesting is if they start intermingling the seats, you know, if that happens, and I don't know that it will, I don't think that's going to keep the Republicans from applauding Republican lines and Democrats applauding Democratic lines, but it will look more like a checkerboard than chessboard as it has in the past.
That brings up a good point. I mean, we've heard stories coming out in the media lately that have said that certain we know that Majority Leader Eric Cantor invited Minority Leader Pelosi to sit by him. Last we checked, she did not agree to that. Actually, Perry's got an update on that.
So former Speaker Pelosi tweeted that she is going to be sitting next to, a few people from the Maryland delegation. She is a native of Maryland. Congressman Roscoe Bartlett is who she's going to be sitting with, as well as a few other people from Maryland. The way her staffers are playing this is she put the invite out to Bartlett before Cantor put the invite out to her.
Bartlett is a Republican.
Yes.
He's conservative and he's respected.
And has been known to cross the aisle on many occasions, Congressman Bartlett. Traditionally, this has always been in the older style of the State of the Union, Republicans on one side and the other, and like you alluded to before, Al, Republicans stand up when they like Republican stuff, Democrats stand up when they say, every once in a while you'll get a little bit of British Parliament, with everybody intermingled, does the president now have a responsibility to say, look, just keep your seats, don't cheer?
I don't know if he has a responsibility, but it would be a very good idea. I think the whole thing's gotten out of hand. Both parties look very certain. I mean, if the president coughs, his party stands up. And I think that calming that down, applause on key policy statements and whatever, it makes perfect sense.
Does Bob, being a former floor chief, does the majority have any, does the majority or the minority have any standing right now to
I think the leaderships have at least informally suggested that people not look like a Wade game at the football stadium, jumping up and yelling when your side does something. I think it would be probably very, and I think I agree with Al, that there will be some continuing value to the speech that the president so well delivered in Tucson.
Right.
And I think what a lot of the leadership on both sides have been trying to damp down, let's call it enthusiasms. And I think that the real important question goes beyond tonight and how people act tonight. The real question becomes, what does it do within the legislative process? Are we going to be more inclusive in our efforts to try to solve problems? Are we going to try to solve them in a way that both sides come away with a feeling that they've done the best they can? Indicate a clear effort to reduce spending, in which case they would be willing to increase the debt. I think that's going to be the place where we really see whether it's possible in a very hard to take to raise the national debt. It's going to be tough to see if the two parties can come together and find a way to go forward.
Now, is what Bob's saying realistic numbers?
Yes. One of the things that would be very helpful to the leadership of the parties were to explain in a public news conference raising the national debt means. A lot of people have the impression that the national debt is new spending. The national debt is essentially raised so that you can pay bills you've already incurred. You can't say, I am not going to use my credit card. I'm not going to pay what I've already put on my credit card. That's what this is about.
That's what it's about.
It's paying for what you've already put in your credit card. I don't think the American public understands that. I don't think the media has explained it very well. And if the leadership of both parties were to get together and simply do a short political science tutorial, the media would have to cover it, and the American public would be better informed.
And that would make it easier for both sides to vote for it.
Well, all right, let's focus in on this topic, because we know it's going to be a topic of discussion inside the State of the Union address.
Perry, and a few of the president's advisors this morning kind of made the rounds on the morning talk shows.
Valerie Jarrett was getting a lot of press time this morning.
And one of the things she said in her various interviews was that this is obviously going to be a topic of discussion tonight, but don't expect too many specifics. That the president is going to say we need to make some cuts, we need to tighten our belts. However, the budget comes out in 3 weeks. Go into a lot of detail for things that is going to come out.
By the way, before we get any further, the actual truth. She's going to be not here, love. Back to topic. When we talk about raising the national debt ceiling, which obviously is going to be a concern, how does the president in this time of stability and color message between adhering to the Democratic side, which is saying raise it, and there's no way in hell we're going
to
vote for this.
You're going to have to appeal to the hearts and minds of the American people. Hasn't been clearly explained to the public what it means to raise the debt ceiling.
Al, can President Obama in fact achieve that goal tonight in one speech?
I think he could. My guess is that he's not going to mention it at all. Save that for when you get to focusing on raising the national debt, rather than bring that issue into a situation where he's got so many other things to talk about, including job enhancement, he's doing that, and a variety of other things.
It's not in any president, certainly not this one, it's not in his or her best interest to lay out the divisions in the country and in the Congress right now, specifics in the State of the Union. He's going to have some things in the budget, but what he needs to do is, in effect, try to get going forward. Yes, that everybody come out and everybody sit.
And welcome back. Sorry for the technical difficulty there, but going to Ralph, you were making your point. I apologize.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Michelle Bachmann does in her speech if she lays out any specific debt and moderate Republicans are going to have time for it in terms of how they would like to present this issue to bring people together.
Bob, that being the case is, I mean, Congressman Paul Ryan is the architect of the new Republican roadmap. The roadmap, the basis for his response to this?
Well, I think he will probably not be very specific, if only because, as chairman of the budget committee, he is the budget met on the subject at this point, to my knowledge, and going to be another. He's not in a position to state what the committee is going to do. I'm sure he has his own he does have his own ideas, but it's going to be a matter, hopefully, of give and take between the two parties in the committee, and he probably does not want to tie himself down to a
Well, we're going to, when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about senior an obscure situation that's never been done before.
A determined effort.
Before we went to the break, whether or not you're political, you probably go. And we're back live from if anybody's listening, install it. If you like the show, write to Comcast. Tell them to get the hardwire installed. You had a comment before we got into that.
We were talking earlier about the Michelle Bachmann location here in the Shelley Studio, right across from the National Press Building, where she's going to be supposedly delivering that speech from. And it looks like the Capitol Police are currently setting up their security arrangements for the evening. So, we are 4 hours and 15 minutes away from the start of the State of the Union. So, however long that was from her address, they're starting to set up. So, that is happening.
That's that. We gotta invite Ron to sit with us a lot more often. Let's go talk about a technical issue. The seating arrangement of discussion here inside the hotel. You've got
members who have come out and said that they're going to sit with somebody on the other side of the aisle. From Arizona, sitting with Tom Udall out of New Mexico.
Right.
Chuck Schumer and Tom Coburn are sitting together.
Interesting.
That came out a while ago. They're two of the ones who really put on all the talk shows. Chuck Grassley tweeted at
his date for the night. That's something he actually put out there.
Yeah.
Here's a picture I gotta go to sleep with.
I cannot remember who it was. One of the members said that his seatmate was gonna be in the
What is the biggest surprise, would you say, among the seating arrangements?
No one.
I think the big surprise tonight is where you. New York came out, did the morning talk show circuit saying they're going to sit together and they're trying to get all that. So all of this is nothing more than part of the stage show for the State of the Union address. No more than see, this is look, it's a great night. You got the entire government of the United States together. One vaccination is the view of a president who spent the last few years being the most part in the history of the road when he no longer has a House of Representatives in his party control. And that's that occurs whenever Republicans take control of a body of government through the media. But when Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats took control of the House of Representatives, did we ever hear the word bipartisanship? in the last 6 years was bipartisanship the point of the media saying, oh, we have to have bipartisanship. I always find it interesting when you have bipartisanship on issues when Republicans find themselves in power, but when the topic doesn't ever seem to come up.
Ow.
I have said on this program that I think Nancy Pelosi was part of the problem of civility. Exactly, and so it sounded a little bit to me like you were suggesting that the Democrats were the cause. Opportunities to extend a help, and she muffed every. If they're so partisan on the Republican side, why does it make me so mad all the time? I find things, and this may be one of them.
Well, you know, Obama's poll numbers seem to be going up and up now that he's
on the air. Caller from the President Trump online. put it at another place.
Other